Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
I'm very excited to be with you this morning. God has very definitely laid a message on my heart, and I am actually pretty pumped to share it. So I love it when God really speaks to us in an intimate way. So we are in the middle of our summer series, Full, which is taken from John chapter 10 and the second portion of verse 10, which says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And we're using the I am statements of Jesus found in the book of John to expand on that, to talk about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And so we started off this sermon series when Dave talked about I am the bread of life. And that was followed up by John when he spoke to us about I am the light of the world. And then Ryan followed with I am the gate for the sheep. And last week we heard from Reuben and he spoke on I am the good shepherd. Well, today I think I get the best one. Because I get to speak on I am the resurrection and the life. And seriously, you can't get a better one than that, can you? So I feel very blessed. A couple of weeks ago, during early morning prayer, we did a prayer walk. And Lynn does a really, really good job of putting together this little booklet kind of thing that gives you places that we can go to throughout the fort and pray for. And she gives a specific prayer request, which is really helpful. And that particular morning, I decided to be a little bit rebellious, and instead of going this way, I went that way. So that meant that I started off in the graveyard. And as I'm walking through the graveyard, bearing in mind that the day before I'd been researching and praying and starting to write this message, the Lord reminded me of my mum's funeral and her burial. My mum is buried just over there. And it was a beautiful summer's day that day and also this particular morning, which is why we were doing a prayer walk. It wasn't raining. So the Lord reminded me of that day. And as we were stood around the graveside and Doug was saying beautiful words, as Doug always does in those moments, we could hear children playing. We could hear them laughing and having fun. And you could hear the joy. And in that moment, I thought, wow, what a perfect place for my mum to be buried. See, my mum loves children. She had seven of us, as you all heard on Mother's Day, and she had lots of grandchildren, but she was also an early childhood educator, so she just loved children. So just the thought of her being buried there and being able to hear, like we could hear children playing and the joy of that, was just this picture of life. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment and said, Joanne, your mom is not dead. She's alive. Yeah. Right? She's like these children. She's having a blast. She's great. She's good. You don't need to worry. And that was a wonderful, brought a wonderful sense of peace to me, that mom was actually alive and she wasn't dead. And this particular scripture actually came to mind in that moment. So our verse is actually, we're looking at John 11, 25 to 26. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Can we just pray? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this I am statement that brings such hope and such promise to us. And I pray today that as we delve into your word and we seek to understand more of what you were trying to get across to us, that our eyes would be open, our hearts would be open, and our ears attuned to what it is you have for each one of us. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be present, that you would be here with us. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Now, the previous I am statements were set in the midst of different festivals, but this particular I am statement is set in the midst of personal crisis, so it's quite different because of that. And so what I want to do today is I want to go through the background, what was going on when Jesus actually spoke these words, what they meant in that time for Martha and what they actually mean for us today. So Jesus and his disciples had been in Judea and they'd come away and they were just away towards the Jordan River. And they'd come away from Jerusalem because, you know, the things that had occurred just shortly before that, the religious leaders didn't like him very much and they were kind of getting a little antsy and wanting to put an end to his life. And so they'd left and they're just kind of hanging out. And then Jesus gets some news that his friend Lazarus is sick. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Jesus really didn't do a lot about that. You would think he finds out that his friend is sick, that he would drop everything and he would head over to Bethany, which is just outside of Jerusalem, and go and heal him because Jesus had done many miracles by this time. And the expectation of Mary and Martha was that when they sent the news to Jesus, that he would respond in that way. But he didn't. John 11 verse 4 says, "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this.'" So Jesus didn't go. In fact, he hung about for a couple of days. And then he said to the disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." The disciples are a little bit confused here because, first of all, Jesus didn't respond right away. And now he's saying, "Let's go back." And they're like, "I don't know if that's a very good idea. You know, they kind of want to kill you. So why would we go back there?" Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I'll go and wake him up." Well, if he's just fallen asleep, why do you need to go wake him up? Like, really, seriously? They didn't get it. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come on, let's go and see him." Now, I don't know about you, but this is a little bit confusing to me. Because just in verse 4, Jesus has said that Lazarus' sickness would not end in death. And then here he is 2 days later saying to his disciples, "Lazarus is dead." That's a little confusing to me. Is it not to you? Yeah. So anyway, the disciples decided to go along with Jesus out to Bethany. And just before they got there, Jesus got word that Lazarus was dead. No news to him, he'd already said that. But that he'd been dead for 4 days. Now you and I will, I don't know about you, but I have read this account of Lazarus many, many times. And I've never really thought much about the statement that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Just, he's dead. 4 days he's been dead. Whatever. But it actually has quite a lot of significance. When I was doing my research, I discovered that the Jews of the day actually had this belief that the dead person's spirit hovered around the body looking for a way to re-enter it. Now, on and around the third day, the color of the body would leave. And when the color of the body left, it became locked and the spirit could no longer enter it. And at that point, the spirit had to go to Sheol. Sheol is the place of the dead. So basically, when Jesus is told that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, they're basically saying it's too late. It's done, it's gone, there's no way back, it's impossible. Even for you, it's impossible. Very interesting, hey? Something that I had never, yeah. Anyway, so as Jesus is entering Bethany, Martha comes out to him. And she says, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha says, "Yeah, I know that." He'll rise when everyone else rises at the last day. You're not telling me anything I don't know. And that's when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? And Martha says, yes, Lord. I've always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came into the world from God. Yes, Lord, I believe you. I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Then Jesus asked to go to the grave. I want to go to the grave. So he goes to the tomb. And then he says, roll the stone aside. Well, Martha didn't like that very much. She got a little, ooh, what's he talking about? She says, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. Remember the 4 days? It's impossible. The spirit is in Sheol. He's not coming back. Dead 4 days. And to make matters worse, he stinks. He stinks. You imagine Israel, 4 days dead, no embalming. He would stink. She wasn't wrong on that. I think our version is really quite cute because it says the smell will be terrible. I think an English person must have actually translated from the original language. Oh, the smell must be terrible. No, he stank. To high heaven, no doubt. Jesus' response to Martha was, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? And then he quite simply said, Lazarus, come out. And guess what? Lazarus came out. This is reminiscent to me of what Ryan talked about, where he said, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Lazarus heard his shepherd's voice, and he responded, and he came out. And then Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go. Wow. Ooh. Awesome. I love it. So what does all of this mean for us for today? Well, first of all, without the resurrection of Jesus, there's no Christianity. We actually have no faith. So when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he literally meant I am the resurrection and the life. It is through me that you will have eternal life. So I want to ask you, just as Jesus asked Martha, do you believe that? Believe in life after death? Do we believe that Jesus lived and that he died and that he was raised again? Are we certain of our eternal destination? There might be some of you in this room today that have never taken that step of faith. You've never actually said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And you've been searching. And you're at a place now where you're like, you know what? I want that. I want that. I want to know for sure. I want to have that certainty that my eternal destiny is secure and it's secure in him. And you know, that's really easy. That's something that is very simple and that you could do it today. Right here and right now, actually, in your seat, you could actually take that step of faith. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're here today and you've never taken that step of faith, you can do that right now. All you need to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you're saved. That's it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? I love it. But I would guess that the majority of the people in this room are already Jesus followers. You've already made that decision. You already believe in him. You already have that security of eternal life, just as Martha did. But are we really living with that belief for today? Are we living with an eternal perspective? Do we see that big picture? Is our daily life evident of that belief? You see, Martha's wasn't, was it? She believed, but she wasn't able to bring that faith and that trust and that life into the present day. She told Jesus, I believe, yes, I believe that he'll be resurrected at the last day. I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God. But when it came to actually believing that Jesus could enter into her circumstance right now, he's been dead 4 days. What are you doing? He stinks. Are we like Martha? Do we realize that Jesus brings not just eternal life, but he brings life for today? He brings resurrection life today in our here and now. Yes, we have the security of heaven, and that's a wonderful thing. But we also have resurrection life today. We have a full life today. Eternal life starts right now. It doesn't start when we die. It starts now. Life to the full starts now. Zoe life starts now. The moment that we believe. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Jesus brings life. He restores what is broken, what is lost, what has been abandoned. Even what we've discarded, he can restore. Relationships, health, gifts and talents and abilities that he's deposited in us, and dreams. Do you have a relationship that seems so severed and so broken that is absolutely beyond repair? Jesus can bring life. Health. You might have been battling with terrible health issues. Jesus brings life. Gifts and talents and abilities. Maybe there is something that God deposited in you that you really felt that he could use for his purposes, but it's never come to fruition, and so you've just given up and you've put it to one side. You know what? Jesus can bring that to life, and he can use you in the way that he intended, not maybe the way you thought, but the way that he wants to. He can bring life. And then I know there's people in this room that have dreams. You have dreams and desires that you know that God gave you, and yet you're not seeing it come to fruition. And that's hard. That's hard when we have a dream. And it can be so painful to even continue dreaming that dream because it hurts so much, because there's so much disappointment surrounding it. I had a dream. Many of you know the story, but maybe not this part of the story. The year after I got married, I gave my life fully and completely back to Jesus. My husband wasn't a Christian, and I was really excited at the beginning. It was so much fun. I was on fire, and I was pumped, and I was so sure that David would become a Christian real quickly, because God would want to use us as a couple together for his glory and for his purposes, right? Wrong. I prayed. Of course I prayed. And the weeks turned into months, and the months turned into years, and the years turned into decades. And one particular Sunday morning, 21 years and 3 months into this journey of praying for my husband to accept Jesus, I was kind of fed up. It was a Sunday. And I was driving down 208 Street in Langley towards CLA, which was my home church at the time. And I was crying because we'd had the usual Sunday morning argument. David would pick and pick and pick and pick at me. It was just a classic thing, you know, the enemy just having a go. And I was just like, I was done. So I actually am driving down to Away Street, tears streaming down my face, and I just said, Lord, I am done. I can't do this anymore. Luke had gone off to Bible college, and so I was alone. You have to bear in mind, you know, while he was home and everything, I had a Christian ally in the home, but he was gone, so I was doing it alone. And I was just like, Lord, I can't do this anymore. If you don't do something soon, I'm out. You just need to know I'm done. Real Martha there, hey? So, I just couldn't see any hope. I just got to the point where I just couldn't see how God, there'd been so many different things that had happened that I thought, this is going to be it. Oh no, maybe this will be it. Oh no, maybe this will be it. And it just wasn't. So I just kind of got to the end of my tether. Well, I arrive at church and clean myself up and go and sit in my usual spot. And we sing worship and it was good. But sometime during the service, and it's been a while now, so I don't actually remember the exact time. So if you were at CLA at the time this happened, please come and correct me afterwards, because then I can make it accurate for the next service. But sometime during the service, a man came to the front of the church and he started to yell, in a good way. He started to shout about Jesus and how you need Jesus, and if you haven't accepted Jesus, he is the one. And then he mentioned his wife, and his wife's name was Jan. And all of a sudden, I realized who this guy was, and I fell to my knees, and I just began to weep. You see, Jan and I had both been praying for our husbands. That was her husband, Keith. And he was stood at the front telling people how he'd accepted Jesus and how they needed to accept Jesus. And she'd been praying for him as long as I'd been praying for David. Both of us had been over 2 decades. And the interesting thing about Jan and I, we're both English, and we were both married to stubborn Englishmen who just would not accept Jesus. So this was a big deal. And so I'm on my knees and I am just, Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that I gave up, that I didn't believe that you could do this. And the Lord said to me, Joanne, David is coming soon. And then he reminded me of a picture that he'd given me in the very early days at CLA when I was first there. And for those of you that know CLA, it used to have bright orange pews and a brown carpet, right? I can hear the laughter. So, and there was David, stood at the front with his arms raised, worshiping Jesus. And God reminded me of that picture. And so, I picked myself up, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm carrying on. 3 months later, I'm sitting on our coffee table in the family room, and David is on the couch facing me, and we're holding hands. Tears streaming down both of our faces as I lead him into faith, into relationship with Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus restores what is impossible, what to us seems like there's just no way. How will this ever happen? How will you ever do this? It's amazing. You know, the beginning of John 10, verse 10 says, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Satan's job, his mission, is to steal, kill, and destroy our relationships, our health, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our dreams. That's what he's out to do. But Jesus says, I have come to give life and give it to the full. I am the resurrection and the life. For today. While I was preparing this message, and I was practicing it. Now you have to know that we pastors, we do practice this. We don't just get up here and the words all come out. That would be great. So on Thursday afternoon, I'm stood in my kitchen, got my notes here and my Bible in my hand and the kitchen units, and I'm preaching to the kitchen units, okay? You look a lot better than my kitchen units. And I'm preaching to the kitchen units. And as I got to this point and sharing about David, the Lord suddenly convicted me about a dream that I've let go of. You see, I wasn't just praying for one man all those years. I didn't want to do this. I was praying for my dad, who was so far from God, so far from God. Once a godly man, but walked away when I was 12. And about 4 or 5 months ago, he told me that he no longer believed that Jesus was God. And something died in me. And I think I lost hope. I think that dream of seeing my dad come back to Jesus and having restored relationship, not with us, with his kids, and knowing what that would do for my family, I think I lost it. And the Lord just convicted me in that moment, and I just did this. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I gave up, that I didn't believe that you're the resurrection and the life. You can reach my dad. Doesn't matter how hard his heart is and how far he's gone. You can reach him. So I want to encourage you today. Whatever it is in your life that you might think is too far gone, that it's 4 days. Doesn't matter that it's 4 days. That's nothing to God. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus brings life. He restores all things. Just wanted to encourage you with that word today. Would you please stand with me? Jesus, we thank you that you came. We thank you that you lived among us. We thank you that you died for our sins so that we could have relationship with you. We thank you that you rose again and that we can have the assurance of eternal life. We thank you for that this morning, Jesus. But we also thank you for the full life that you give us now in the here and the present, that you can resurrect dreams, that you can resurrect health, that you can resurrect relationships, that you can bring life into every area of deadness in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. And I pray today that whatever any one of us in this room is facing, that you would help us inject into us that life today, that hope today, that you are not finished, that you are not done, that you are still working, that you are always working. And we might not see it. There were times I didn't see it in David's life, but you were working. So Lord, I pray that we would move out today with confidence, knowing that you are the resurrection and the life. Not just for eternity. This isn't just for the future, but this is for now, so that we can have life now and have it to the full in the way that you intended, so that we can reach those outside of these walls as they see us living, trusting, and believing in you as the resurrection and the life. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give this day to you. We ask that you would bless it. Go with us now as we leave. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. If any of you feel that you need prayer or you want to talk to one of the pastoral team, we will hang around here in case that's something that you need. Have a wonderful Sunday. Thank you.